At a particularly chilly moment for U.S.-Russia relations, physicist Richard Garwin can recall what made it downright cold, because he was part of it. Back in 1952, Garwin famously helped design the very first hydrogen bomb. It was codenamed Ivy Mike, and since that time, Richard Garwin has become a well-known activist on nonproliferation and nuclear arms control, and recalled for me a speech he gave more than 20 years ago that he could have written today.
In October 1994, I gave a talk at the 60th birthday celebration of Carl Sagan at Cornell University, The Relationship of Science and Power. And here are the closing paragraphs. Democracy, which we prize, contains the seeds of its own destruction. The power to choose includes the power to choose wrong. In Russia, there is a hazard of rejection of democracy, but also in the United States. Unless we provide more effectively the public goods of security against crime, of employment and health care, I see a real threat of the electorate choosing remedies that will lead to disaster. If those of us who have some power don't address these solutions because it is right to do so, we should do it because our future depends on their solution.
In November, he was awarded the 2016 Presidential Medal of Freedom for his work as a physicist, including his contributions to defense technologies and gravitational wave theory. Garwin's been a vocal supporter of the Iran nuclear deal, and he says the cooperation we've had with Russia on nonproliferation over the last few decades shouldn't be taken for granted.
Well, we've done very well, and cooperation with the Soviet Union and more recently with Russia has been a big part of that. But relations with Russia are not good now, and that's one of the main reasons to improve them. And the problem of a terrorist nuclear explosive, either stolen or given to them by a nuclear state, or made from stolen highly enriched uranium, is a big problem. And we need to continue cooperation with the other nuclear weapon states and the non-nuclear weapon states, members of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. That should be a very high priority.
What do everyday people misunderstand about how difficult or even how easy it is to either develop a weapon if you're a rogue group or steal one or steal the fuel for a nuclear device?
Well, it's all different. And stealing a modern nuclear weapon doesn't do you very much good because it has safety features. But stealing an elementary nuclear weapon gives you the opportunity to use it. So making an implosion weapon with plutonium is really quite difficult. Making an improvised nuclear weapon by obtaining highly enriched uranium metal, that's pretty easy. The goal has been, over the last decades, to lock up the highly enriched uranium. And there we've been really quite successful.
How did you react, Professor Garwin, when you saw President-elect Donald Trump's public statements that the United States should build up and expand its nuclear arsenal, not just modernize it as President Obama wants to do, but actually expand the arsenal?
I think that a good look at the realities of the situation after he takes office might persuade him differently. Our problem is not too few nuclear weapons, it's too many nuclear weapons, an exorbitant cost, a really unnecessary, in my opinion, modernization of the nuclear triad.
You wrote an open letter to President Obama in the summer of 2015, along with a bunch of other scientists and physicists, praising that Iran nuclear deal. You called it stringent and innovative. You're publishing a message to the new president, Donald Trump. What's your message to him?
Well, we have almost a year after the implementation of the Iran deal, January 2016, and it has really been working very well. The verification by the International Atomic Energy Agency has worked. The centrifuge farm has been reduced by two-thirds. The enriched uranium stockpile in Iran has been reduced by 95 or 98%. We are much farther from an Iran nuclear weapon or from having the material for Iran to use in a nuclear weapon than was the case before.
Well, you're one of the few people around talking about this issue, Professor Garwin, who actually helped develop the very first nuclear weapons, the first hydrogen bomb. I wonder throughout your career how you've looked back on that innovation that you helped make, especially in light of the proliferation questions that the world is facing now?
If I hadn't helped develop the first thermonuclear weapon, other people would have. It would probably have taken a year or two longer. I wish that hydrogen bombs were not possible, but reality is what it is. You have to face it. And we could have had a nuclear deterrent with just plain old fission bombs or boosted fission bombs, and now we have it with considerably lower yield hydrogen bombs than the first generation that we had.
It's a very different environment than 1961, 1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis, when JFK was president, somebody who you knew and worked with.
Yes, I had a one-on-one, or almost one-on-one, with President Kennedy just after the United States had detonated a hydrogen bomb at 400-kilometer altitude, 1.4 megatons, the Starfish Prime experiment in 1962. And it had filled the Van Allen belts with trapped electrons so that one could not send an astronaut to the moon and bring him back safely within the decade, as President Kennedy had promised. So this was a big concern of his. Fortunately, there are natural phenomena that took care of the excess electron population and made it possible for the Apollo landings and safe return.
You know, Professor, while I still have you here, if you'll let me, you did some pioneering work in the area of gravitational waves, and I just need to ask you about it if I can, because it's a rare opportunity for me. Those gravitational waves have been detected and confirmed now. They've been called the smoking gun of the Big Bang and inflation right after the Big Bang. It could help explain a lot about this universe and maybe even a multiverse, infinite other universes. It's an exciting time for a guy like you, I think.
The Laser Interferometer Gravitational Observatory, LIGO, detection of gravity waves, was wonderful. My involvement was limited. My admiration is unlimited. I did do gravity wave experiments on my own in the early 1970s, and I showed that the earlier experiments by Joe Weber were wrong, that gravity waves had not been detected. And I helped bring the laser interferometer effort on track. I do little science for the most part. These people do big science, teams of 1,000 people or more, all managed really wonderfully toward a positive goal. And that's the sort of thing that we need, not only in the detection of the merger of two enormous black holes, but we need such efforts on behalf of humanity to solve our social problems.
Richard Garwin, physicist, anti-proliferation activist, nuclear expert, recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Professor Richard Garwin, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.